Judges 10. I want to make just a point about verse 16. They put away the foreign gods from among them and served Yahweh, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. I want to talk about this Hebrew word translated grieved. The very soul of God was grieved for their misery, even though their misery was their fault. They had sinned terribly, really, and yet his soul was grieved, his very soul. You've got the same phrase exactly in Judges 16, verse 16, about Samson. His soul was vexed unto death. And this is exactly the phrase used about God. God Almighty grieved unto death for their grief. And I think finally that came to its full term in the death of Jesus for the sins of Israel. Something of us dies, I think, in the death of those we love. And so in that sense, God was in Christ, in the sense that he shared in his sufferings and death. Not, of course, that God himself died, because he can't by nature. But he fully shared in the sufferings of his son unto death. His soul, as we read here in Judges, was grieved or was shortened. The idea is it was cut down. It was reaped. It's the word used about the cutting down of a harvest. This is how God felt, and he felt it even for the sufferings of his sinful people. And this pity of God for humanity must not be missed. God pitied Nineveh, Jonah 4. And again, that means to pity with tears. He suffered with his people in their sufferings. He talks about his wayward people, Israel, Jeremiah 31, 20. My heart yearns for him, or moans for him. When he had to slay those in the wilderness, God pitied and grieved over the carcasses of those men whom he slew. And the apostle makes the point, with whom was he grieved? Hebrews 3, 17. And the answer, of course, to that sort of rhetorical question, well, it was with the wicked whom he slew, and he grieved over them. So this is the very opposite of the idea of God somehow getting a kick out of punishing wicked people. Time and again, the pagan gods are presented as sort of gleefully gloating over the people whom they judge. The God of Israel is not like that. And so this helps us address the fear that there is of rejection and condemnation by God that is, I think, at some level, at some point in our lives and all of us. Look, God pities even the rejected. And we are trying, although in great weakness and with not half enough effort and seriousness, to totally give our souls to him. And we suffer. And God is grieved in that suffering. God is not far away. He's not distant. He's not uncaring. He is passionately involved in all our sufferings. In all their affliction, we read in Isaiah 63, he was afflicted. And so God is absolutely at one, even with the sufferings of those whom he slays, and he pities those whom he condemns, let alone those who are his beloved, who are in Christ. And so in all our suffering, despite this apparent silence of God and this apparent distance of God, he is not far from every one of us. And not only so, but he actually feels for us. He has a soul, his being, his life, his whole being was grieved. Now, how can a God so far away be so passionate? It's like a man getting terribly upset about the suffering of a bacteria or a tiny ant beneath his feet. Even more so between God and man. And yet this is the unique and wonderful thing about our God, that he who is so great, so far greater than us, so far away from us in various ways, absolutely feels with us. And this is part of the wonder of the cross, of why it had to be that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their iniquities unto them, because he was in Jesus and he felt with Jesus in the sufferings of Jesus for our sakes. And Jesus suffered there not only to save us, but also as our representative. And God was in all of that.